Hare Krishna. We shall read one verse and purport from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Please repeat. Kirata.
Kirata.
Huna.
Huna.
Andhra.
Andhra.
Pulinda.
Pulinda.
Pulkasha.
Pulkasha.
Abira.
Abira.
Shumba.
Shumba.
Yavana.
Yavana.
Kasha.
Kasha.
Adaya.
Adaya.
Ye.
Ye.
Anye.
Anye.
Cha.
Cha.
Papa.
Papa.
Yat.
Yat.
Apashraya.
Apashraya.
Ashraya.
Ashraya.
Shudyanti.
Shudyanti.
Tasmai.
Tasmai.
Prabhavishnave.
Prabhavishnave.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pukasha Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya Yenye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pukasha Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya Yenye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kirata.
Kirata.
A province of old Bharat.
Province of old Bharat.
Huna.
Huna.
Part of Germany and Russia.
Part of Germany and Russia.
Andhra.
Andhra.
A province of southern India.
A province of southern India.
Pulinda.
Pulinda.
The Greeks.
The Greeks.
Pulkasha.
Pulkasha.
Another province.
Another province.
Abira.
Abira.
Part of old Sindh.
Part of old Sindh.
Shumba.
Shumba.
Another province.
Another province.
Yavana.
Yavana.
The Turks.
The Turks.
Kasha.
Kasha.
Adaya.
Adaya.
The Mongolian province.
The Mongolian province.
Yay.
Yay.
Even those.
Even those.
Anye.
Anye.
Others.
Others.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Papa.
Papa.
Addicted to sinful acts.
Addicted to sinful acts.
Yay.
Yay.
Whose.
Whose.
Apashraya.
Apashraya.
Ashraya.
Ashraya.
Having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord.
Having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord.
Shudyanti.
Shudyanti.
At once purified.
At once purified.
Tasmai
unto him.
Prabhavishnave
unto the powerful Vishnu.
Namaha.
My respectful obeisances.
Translation. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Khasa races and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my obeisances unto Him. Please repeat. Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda.
Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda.
Pulkasha Abira Shumba.
Pulkasha Abira Shumba.
Yavana.
Yavana.
Members of the Khasa races.
Members of the Khasa races.
And even others addicted to sinful acts.
Can be purified
by taking shelter
of the devotees of the Lord
due to His, the Lord's,
being the supreme power.
I beg to offer my respectful obeisances
unto Him.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kirata. There's quite a bit of space devoted to a description of these different races. And for the sake of time, I may not read the complete description of each, but just enough to give an idea. Kirata. Generally, the Kiratas are, I speak slowly. It doesn't mean I'm waiting for you to respond. It's just the way I speak. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the Aboriginal tribes of India, and in modern days, the Santal Parganas in Bihar and Chotanagpur might comprise the old province named Kirata. Huna, the area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hunas. Andhra, a province in southern India, still extant under the same name. Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas, and it is mentioned in the Vana Parva of Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. This Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharata, and the inhabitants were classified amongst the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Mlechas, just as those who are not followers of the Islamic culture are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called heathens. Abira. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as the Abiras. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and according to the statements of Markandeya, the Mleshas of this part of the world would also rule over Bharat. Later, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India, and on behalf of the Abiras, Mohammed Ghori conquered India. These Abiras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, but they gave up the connection. The Kshatriyas, who were afraid of Parasuram and had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly regions, later on became known as the Abiras. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Yayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Mlecha Yavanas. It is also foretold that these Yavanas would conquer India, and it proved to be true. Kasha. The inhabitants of the Kasha Desh are mentioned in the Mahabharata, Drona Parva. Those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Kasas. As such, the Kasas are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadev Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions, because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Shukadeva Goswami began his prayers by discussing the word Yatkirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy names, a tremendous change of heart can take place, by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. So we'll return to the purport, but for now we will discuss what we've read so far. The present verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually quite extraordinary, because it predicts the work of Srila Prabhupada. What the verse says is that people who are addicted to sinful activities can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada counts Jesus Christ and Muhammad as such devotees. That people addicted to sinful acts in different parts of the world can be purified by taking shelter of such devotees. That is true. But one must follow the instructions of the devotee. And when Srila Prabhupada was present, he perceived that the followers, or so-called followers, of Jesus were not actually following him. The verse says that those who take shelter of the devotees of the Lord can be purified. And when they're purified, the blazing fire of material existence, or the blazing fire of dissension between individuals and communities and nations, will be extinguished. But what do we see in the world today? We see that people who are supposed followers of Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and even Sanatana Dharma are engaged in sinful acts. There's hardly any difference. They are addicted to sinful acts. Eating meat, fish and eggs, taking intoxicants, gambling, and having illicit sex. All these activities are quite prevalent all over the world. And some of them are common in practically every group. Hare Krishna. I heard recently that this is not to point the finger at any particular group, because like I said, practically every group is addicted to sinful acts. This is not to point the finger at anyone, but it is just to alert one to the danger. But I have heard that the casinos, I don't know about Las Vegas, but in southern Africa, are very frequently visited by older men and women from the Hindu tradition. I often hear about Indian tourists visiting Las Vegas, but I have never inquired very deeply what they do there. But many of them go there. Now, this vice might not seem as bad as something like eating meat, which is causing direct harm to other living entities, or even as bad as taking intoxicants, which causes harm to one's own physical system. But gambling can become an addiction. Prabhupada uses that word addicted. It can become an addiction. And people who become addicted to gambling can lose a lot of money. And the consequences can affect their families and their relationships with their community members and friends. And I don't want to shock anyone here, but one of the devotees from South Africa, very nice lady, devotee, named Vishnu Priya Dasi, when we were together in Dallas, she received the news that her uncle had committed suicide in South Africa in a very ghastly way. He hung himself in his bedroom, which was really a very, you know, if you think about it, it was a very cruel thing to do, because his daughter or maybe even granddaughter walked into the room and saw his body hanging. And now, he was retired. But he would go to the temple. He would go to the temple. He would give in charity. He seemed like a nice enough person, but he had this addiction to gambling. And it was quite apparent that he was falling into debt and debt and debt and not seeing any way out. He committed suicide. So when we read the descriptions of the different races, we find that many of them were originally part of Bharat. They were considered part of Bharat. But by losing their culture, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became fallen. And they became mlechas. Mlecha, as Prabhupada very intelligently explains, mlecha does not refer to a particular racial group, but it refers to someone who has placed himself or herself outside of the Vedic culture. You can be born in the Vedic culture, but if you give up the Vedic culture or the Brahminical culture, then you become a mlecha. Not that you're born a mlecha, but you become one by giving up the Vedic culture. And similarly, one who is outside of the Vedic culture and addicted to sinful activities can become purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord means following their instructions. And the process for purification which they give. And as Shukadev Goswami mentions just a few verses earlier, yat kirtanam, the process of purification is kirtanam, the chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord, especially the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, but chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord in general. That will purify the heart, ceto darpana marjanam, and when the heart is purified, one will no longer engage in sinful activities. But nothing is automatic. Everything depends on the practitioner's efforts. When Srila Prabhupada was staying in Bombay in 1971, a Hindu gentleman came into his room and prostrated himself before Srila Prabhupada and said, "Swamiji, Swamiji, only you can save me. Only you can save me." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "I cannot save you. You have to save yourself. But I can give you the method by which you can save yourself. But you have to do the work." So this is the process, this is the essence of spiritual advancement, that one receives the instruction from the pure devotee and one follows it. And then Krishna helps. That's what the verse says. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great authorities in the line, has said, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. So when we make the effort to follow the instructions of the pure devotee, Krishna helps. Earlier, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, Sutta Goswami says, Shrinvata Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, that just the act of hearing and chanting about Krishna makes one pious. And the Lord, Pridantasto Hibadrani, Vidunoti Suritsatam. The Lord, who is within the heart, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from within the heart. This is the process, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, that the practitioner makes the effort, Shrinvata Swakata Krishna. He makes the effort to hear the messages of Krishna, like all of you are doing tonight. You are hearing the messages of Krishna. And the messages themselves will purify the heart. Because on the absolute platform, the messages of Krishna and Krishna are the same. The name of Krishna and Krishna are the same. If you are in the desert and you're dying of thirst and you chant water, 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 just chanting water, water will not quench your thirst. Because the word water and the substance water are different. But in the absolute realm, when you chant Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present, dancing on your tongue. Because the name of Krishna and Krishna are the same. So when we chant the holy name of Krishna or hear the transcendental messages of Krishna, Krishna is personally present and he enters the heart and cleanses the heart. But he also helps as the best friend of the living entity. He helps. God helps those who help themselves. He sees, oh, this person is making an effort to chant my name. This person is making an effort to understand my position. This person is making an effort to revive his relationship or her relationship with me. And he helps. Surit. Surit, that means a well-wishing friend. Is it a well-wishing friend? Surit Satam. Satam means, well, Prabhupada translates it as truthful devotee. Sat means truth. So devotees are Satam. Surit Satam. Satam Prasangat Mama Virya Samvido. Messages of Godhead are very pleasing when discussed in the association of devotees, satam. But that word is related to sat, which means truth. So Srila Prabhupada says a truthful devotee. Truthful devotee means that he is chanting and hearing with the sincere intention of purifying his heart and reviving his eternal relationship with Krishna. Not to make a show for some material purpose. That is not a truthful devotee, that is a hypocrite. Oh, Krishna helps the truthful devotees who are genuinely eager to understand the science of Krishna consciousness and who want to chant the holy name to purify their hearts so that they can serve him and realize their actual identities as blissful, loving servants of Krishna. So there are so many verses. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Aguru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Latadi. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev. When a fortunate living entity who's wandering throughout the universe, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he gets the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Because when Krishna sees that someone is sincere to find him or to reach him, Krishna will arrange for that person to meet a guru. And then the guru will instruct the disciple in the methods by which he can attain Krishna. So the two are working together. And therefore it is sometimes said, by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. And so by the mercy of Guru and Krishna one gets the seed of devotional service. But that's only the seed. The seed means the method. The method. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these verses are spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Malihana, that you should become a gardener and plant that seed in your heart and water it Shravana Kirtana Jal with the water of chanting and hearing about Krishna. Yesterday, we visited the home of Vaisheshika Prabhu in Burlingame, and he actually has a garden. And he plants seeds, and he waters them, and he watches for weeds, and he pulls out the weeds, and he follows the exact process mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he gets so many realizations about the process of planting the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotional service, and watering it, and looking out for weeds, pulling out the weeds, protecting it, gets so many realizations. We hear the word Mali, well, in India, Malis are not considered on a very high social level. Oh, the Mali who gardeners, the fellow who makes the garlands, okay, give him a few rupees, take some malas from the mali. But we are all meant to be, become malis of the Bhakti Lata Beach. And Krishna helps. Krishna helps. You can see there's a harmony or a symmetry between all these different verses and different places in the scriptures. So we follow the instructions of the pure devotee, and Krishna helps to purify the aspiring devotee within the heart. And thus the aspiring devotee gives up sinful activities. So we have to make that effort. And we want to preserve this culture for ourselves and for our children and our grandchildren. Otherwise they could become mlechas. This is not automatic that just because their parents are devotees that they will be devotees. But of course, that's also a matter of association and example. When people have children, they realize that their example will be taken by their children. And so, if they're conscientious and responsible, which they should be as parents, they are very careful to set a good example. Sometimes it happens that we meet, not in a gathering like this, certainly not in a gathering like this, but it may happen that a young child will come to visit me with parents, and the child will say something a little bit rude, and we know immediately where the child got it, because at that age the child is not going to school. The only association the child has really is the parents. So this, you know, like a 3-year-old child will say something like a little rude, and you can tell immediately, oh, that's the way the husband talks to the wife in private, or the wife talks to the husband in private. It comes out. It comes out. Not in this case. Yes, Karan.
It could also be older brothers or older sisters.
It could be. It could be. Yes. But I should add that over the age of 5, children are responsible. So you can't spend the rest of your life saying that because of your older brothers or older sisters, you have developed certain bad habits. I'm sure that's not what you're saying. But the point is that association is very influential. And so we're talking about the association of devotees. But we're also talking about preserving the culture, developing the culture of Krishna consciousness at home and preserving it. And how the example of the parents affects the children, and then the older children in turn affect their younger siblings. And so it's very, very responsible position that parents are in. In fact, there is a verse in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Gulor nasasyat pitahan nasasyat. That one should not become a guru, a teacher. One should not become a father. One should not become a mother. One should not become a husband. And one should not become a have a superior relationship to another person, unless he or she can deliver his or her dependent from the repetition of birth and death. That's how responsible Vedic culture is. If you cannot deliver your dependent, then you shouldn't become a guru, a teacher, a father, a mother, a husband, or any worshipable relative. So, how can we discharge our duty? We can only discharge our duty properly if we take up the process of purification within our own lives and set the example for the others in the family to follow. Now, sometimes it happens that in a family, not here, I'm sure, but it may happen in a family that one spouse is more inclined to Krishna consciousness than the other. In fact, the other might not be interested in at all. Sometimes the other is a little inimical. So then what to do? So what I often advise people will take the example of the case where the wife is more spiritually inclined than the husband. It could be the other way. So I advise the wife that you should act in such a way that the husband thinks that Krishna consciousness is a good thing. And there, and specifically in two areas, One is that you should be happy. Then your husband will see, oh, she's become much happier since she's come to Krishna consciousness. Well, that's good. It's good. She's happier now. And the other thing is to deal better with other people, especially in the family and especially with your husband. And then the husband will think, oh, Krishna consciousness is very good. My wife is, she doesn't lose her temper like before. She doesn't get annoyed like before. This is a good thing. You know? So gradually, slowly, the spouse's attitude will become a little more favorable. But it requires patience and tolerance, no doubt. No doubt. And of course, prayer. That we should always be praying for our husband, for our wife, for our children, for our parents, for our siblings, for everyone. So, Srila Prabhupada was so powerful that he could leave India all alone and have the effect mentioned in the verse, that he could purify people addicted to sinful acts from all different races. And this is astonishing. This is astonishing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prativiteya Chejato Nagar Adigram Sarvatra Prachor Hoibe Marna, that in every town and village of every country of the world, my name or Krishna's name will be preached or sung. Now, even learned followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not understand how this prediction could take place. They thought it may be some sort of poetic statement, some metaphor, or some hyperbole. They could not believe that it could actually happen. It is such an extraordinary feat. But actually it happened. When Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, was crossing the ocean and came to New York City and began the Krishna consciousness movement. So I'll read a little more from the purport. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnava cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. No bar. A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnav even the Kirata, etc., as mentioned above. It is said by the Lord, in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord, even for those who are low born. And some details, some examples. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I have spoken on this verse before, and when I read this sentence in the purport, I cannot help but remember an incident that took place in Bombay in about 1972 or 3. Srila Prabhupada's zonal secretary for India, Tamal Krishna Goswami, needed to have a hernia operation. And he had arranged with a very kind and generous supporter of ours, who had built what was the best hospital in Bombay at the time, to have the operation there. But when Srila Prabhupada found out, he wanted to stop Tamal Krishna Goswami from getting the operation because he did not, he wasn't confident of the medical treatment in India. Now, Tamal Krishna Goswami was already in the hospital, and either we didn't have a telephone, for a long time we didn't, or it was out of order. And a lot of the time when we did have it, it was out of order. Things have changed a lot since then, I hope. So Srila Prabhupada decided that he would go in person to the hospital to try to stop the operation. So at that time we did have a vehicle, a jeep, with not the kind that's built solid, but the old kind where there's like a canvas roof and open sides flaps, you close the door. Sort of like what you have on the cycle rickshaws. And so we drove down to the hospital with Srila Prabhupada. And, but when we got there, it was too late. The operation had already been performed. And they were wheeling Tamal Krishna Goswami out of the recovery area. And he was just coming out of the effects of the anesthesia. And you know, he opened his eyes, he saw Srila Prabhupada, and he told Srila Prabhupada about a dream that he had had under anesthesia. And in the dream, Srila Prabhupada was giving a report to the previous acharyas about the situation on planet Earth and his work on planet Earth. So he's there, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And in his report, he said that by and large, the people on planet Earth have no good qualities. They are not pious. They are addicted to sinful activities. They are not learned. They have no strong foundation in Vedic culture. And overall, they have no qualifications. And then he said, but they do. But there, he said, there's one thing about them. And that is, and he's talking about his disciples now, and that is that they have complete faith in me. And whatever I tell them, they do. And that qualification is sufficient to redeem them. And that's exactly what this says here. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Srila Prabhupada says, anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. Did you hear that? Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. This is parampara. And Srila Prabhupada is very clearly extending the principle of parampara outside the confines of India to the world. That yes, by taking shelter of a pure devotee, by following the instructions of a pure devotee, one can become purified, one can become a pure devotee, and then one in turn can give shelter to others and reclaim others. And this is actually happening. To some extent, we might take it for granted, or we might not. But when Srila Prabhupada first was preaching in India, there was tremendous opposition, especially from the caste Brahmins, for him to make his disciples Brahmins. Then what to speak of sannyasis? And then what to speak of gurus? Of course, gurus came later. Some caste Brahmins from Hyderabad, in Andhra Pradesh, met Srila Prabhupada, and they very severely chided him and said that you are doing the greatest disservice to the Hindu culture by making these mlechas into brahmanas. But Srila Prabhupada defended his position on the basis of shastra, sadhu shastra and guru, on the basis of shastra. And because of his efforts, we are here today. Without Srila Prabhupada's efforts, none of us would be here today. Not just his effort in coming to America and establishing Krishna consciousness, because maybe very few of you who are here today had personal association with Srila Prabhupada. But because he worked so hard to establish the principle that anyone from any part of the world can take to Krishna consciousness and become a purified devotee. So now we have Parideya Prabhu here, so many, we have Vaisheshika Prabhu, so many devotees. Because Srila Prabhupada not only gave them shelter and instructed them in devotional service, but he defended their right on the basis of scripture to engage in devotional service and perform any service, even service of a Brahmin, service of a sannyasi, service of a guru. Well, this was very revolutionary. And there's a danger that we may take things for granted, revolutionary things we may take for granted. Some months ago we had a Sadhu Sangha retreat in Texas, and His Holiness Jayadwaita Swami gave a class in which he said that the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada gave us is so revolutionary. Even something as basic as you're not the body, something that you've heard in class so many times that when you hear it repeated again and again in class, you sleep through the class. But for people in general, that idea is revolutionary. It is totally revolutionary. Because pretty much everyone identifies with the body. And all the anomalies in the world stem from their false identification with the body. So the knowledge that Prabhupada has given us and the power that he's given us to transform people's lives, to touch their hearts and change their perspective on things is tremendous. Tremendous. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure Vaishnava. Systematic. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed, and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. There's more, but because of the time factor, I won't complete reading the purport. It is worth reading again and again and discussing again and again. I'll just read the last paragraph, brief paragraph. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful... Actually, I do have to tell a little story. Because when we went to Madras for the first time, we stayed with a very orthodox family named Balu. It was very nice. I mean, as far as the culture, it was very nice. But I think it was Mr. Balu. We stayed at a few places. But he was of the opinion that you can become a Brahmin only if you take birth as a Brahmin. So he was discussing with one of my colleagues, Achyutananda Swami, and he said, you can become a Vaishnava. And a Vaishnava is greater than a Brahmin. But you cannot become a Brahmin until you have to take birth as a Brahmin. So Achyutananda Swami said that one is born in a particular position according to his pious and sinful activities. We could say according to his karma. But, let us say sinful activities. So what is stronger? He asked our host. So what is stronger? Sin or Lord Krishna's holy name? And he had to admit that Lord Krishna's holy name is more powerful than sin. So that means that by chanting and hearing the holy name of Krishna, the effects of one's sinful activities can be purified, and one becomes immediately eligible to perform brahminical functions. And there's a verse in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that says the same thing. Aho bhata sva saryam, that those who are chanting the holy name of Krishna even if they are born in low families, at once become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Only a Brahmin can perform a Vedic sacrifice. And the Bhagavatam says that even one born in a sinful family, if he is chanting the holy names of the Lord, he at once is eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Like
Mr. Balu and his wife lived in Piedmont last 15 years or so. He used to visit Berkeley Temple, and I think he passed away 2-3 years ago, and his wife still lives in the area somewhere.
Yeah. It was amazing because he was very orthodox. I mean, the whole household was very orthodox. The wife would take rest only after her husband. She would get up before her husband. She would cook and serve the husband. She would eat only after the husband ate. And she was a good cook too. Lots of good idlis and dosas. And I can tell you many stories, but let us say they were very orthodox. And then their son moved to Berkeley. And that family attachment, they followed their son to Berkeley. And when I heard that our old hosts from Madras were in Berkeley, I went to visit them. And it's very hard in Berkeley to maintain that orthodoxy. But he got something better. He got something better. He got Krishna consciousness. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to find that he and his wife, who had hosted Srila Prabhupada and 12 devotees, so many years later had come to Berkeley and was visiting the temple, doing service, contributing. It was really wonderful. That shows how powerful the association of a pure devotee is. Even though at the time he didn't immediately take up the instructions, but he did service. He hosted Prabhupada. He did service. And Krishna, by his all-powerful, Prabhu Vishnave Namaha, is all-powerful. He brought Mr. and Mrs. Balu to the neighborhood of the temple in Berkeley. So, thank you for mentioning that. So, the conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can, under any and every circumstance, accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites. What's an example of a devotee who Lord Chaitanya accepted? Yes, Haridas Thakur, and he became Namacharya. Such an important devotee. And the Lord, he himself, Lord Chaitanya, the Lord himself, he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. Yes, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nidasa. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Brahman, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And that is parampara. That is what we're talking about. Parampara. You serve that very word, that very phrase. Apashraya ashraya. Taking shelter of the devotee means taking shelter of someone who's taken shelter. A very beautiful phrase. Apashraya ashraya. You take shelter of someone who's taken shelter. So you take shelter of a devotee, he has taken shelter of a devotee, and he has taken shelter of a devotee, and all the way back to Krishna. And if you take shelter of a devotee, if you are strongly under the protection of a devotee or a group of devotees, then you can also give shelter to others. Your wife, your husband, your children, your neighbors, your friends, and on and on and on. So it's quite amazing what has happened. And again, that essential process, as mentioned by Shukadeva Goswami a little earlier and repeated by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, is kirtana. Kirtana. So we will conclude by everyone repeating after me the words to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, so please repeat. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Again, four words at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now, eight words. Take a deep breath. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Advance, no responsive, no eight, no, just there on the very advanced spontaneous platform. Huh? Okay. So we'll do it once more. Such spontaneous ecstasy. It's hard to
stop while you're in the middle of the dance.
All right, we'll just let that go. So now we'll do in unison all 16 words at a time. And then we're going to chant one round together. Is that not part of the program? Or?
Yeah.
All right, so please repeat all together as loud as possible, all 16 words.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Very good, very good. Okay. Now, are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
There was one of the
Padre, you mentioned about a story about a child, and you approached you and you had a certain perception of him based on what he said. Most of the child is, and then there's a parent influence that kind of perfect prayer into the child in that sense.
Yeah.
But most of today's, because I live with a commoners, and most of today's influences are coming mostly from the TV. When they watch TV, and they get a lot of influences that they. So most of the parents are either out and about doing their work, and most of the time they are babysitters, and then they go out and learn from the media, most of their ideas. That's some of the psychology that I can watch in that child.
Well, there is one solution. Throw out the TV.
So the blame goes into the parents most of the time, that the child has the influence of the parents, but most of the transcendent of the knowledge that comes from the child are very receptive of what they can learn. And they learn a lot of things from the, and most of our society today are influencing through the Judeo-Christian or Islamic influences of that, and they get none of that information, and there's a Vedic jnana to the learning to the parents that me and everybody else have gone through our own Vedic growth is lacking most of
it. Yeah, it's very hard work to raise children. And my sister, she would not allow television in the house. But, you know, she was also very active and social, you know, working for the school, working for the temple, you know. And so she didn't allow television, but she gave him a computer. It was like out of the pan and into the fire. When she gave him the computer, there wasn't so much as, you know, they didn't have Xbox and all these things. So it's relatively simple. It's more like for education. But the computer itself has become a reservoir of all varieties of vicious activities. So, it takes work.
Another comment I wanted to make is back in the 60s, I was in Mumbai, and the Juhu ISKCON Center was being built. But then in the 70s, I was in England, and most of my studies I did in England. And back then, in the 70s period, when the internet, as you were mentioning, ISKCON was being developed, there was a lot of influences of bringing down that international consciousness revolution, as you mentioned. There was a lot of that was getting suppressed, the revolution, but then at the same time, people like George Harrison, and which I was kind of Liverpool, I was there in that area, I was influenced very much. And those individuals who had gained the devotee status of Krishna consciousness was very much influenced. And that has really created a lot of, revolution into the English community back then.
That's true. Yad yad acharati shrestas. Whatever the great men do, the others follow. So George Harrison had a tremendous influence on people, tremendous influence. And he came to Juhu, and he was a very special person, very encouraging. The temple was under construction. The two towers had come up. There was like a structure. And the temple itself was pretty much just the foundation. And I gave him a tour, and he was just so encouraging and so positive. And then at 12:30, the conch blew for the aarti, Rajabhoga aarti. So we finished up the tour, and we went to the temple room, and he just picked up an instrument. I don't remember if it was Madanga or Kartals, and he joined the kirtan. He didn't lead. Someone was already leading. He joined the kirtan. And then afterwards, we got some mahaprasad for him, and Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu. So after the aarti, at that stage, I let Shamsundar Prabhu accompany him, because Shamsundar Prabhu was very close to him, and he took him up to Srila Prabhupada's room, and they had prasad. And then I should actually see what happened to this young man. But there was quite a pious family that lived in a Juhu scheme behind the temple, named the Valiyas. They had actually three brothers. And the one brother, Pranjivan Bhai Valiya, he had a house that he called Hare Krishna. And he actually had a big garden, and he had a temple, separate temple in the garden, and his wife was very pious. So anyway, they had a boy, maybe, how old are you? 11. He's probably around 11 years old. And little pudgy. And he came up to my office, and he said, I heard George Harrison is here. I want to see George Harrison. So I said, well, he's meeting with Srila Prabhupada. You really can't see him now. So he looked at me with a very penetrating gaze. He looked at me, and he understood that I wasn't going to change what I said. You know, from his point of view, he understood he's not going to get anywhere with me. So he bolted down the stairs and started running. I think he was going to just ask someone where... He wouldn't even have to ask where George Harrison was. He would just have to ask where Prabhupada was. And, you know, like, a few seconds later, you know, it clicked in me what he was doing. So I went bounding down the stairs after him. And he was ahead of me. It was like Mother Yasoda chasing after Krishna. I was like, that little guy was ahead of me. And he ran into the building, and I was chasing behind him. He ran up the stairs. I was chasing behind him. I got to the top of the stairs, and he had just entered the room. And George Harrison was sitting there, like perfectly cross-legged with his back erect, like a perfect yogi, and just listening with such attention, like a perfect disciple at the feet of the guru. And the boy came in, and it sort of ended the meeting. You know, everyone was very gracious. Everyone was very gracious. And George said, well, I don't know who spoke first, but, you know, well, maybe, you know, taken enough of your time and like that. And that was the end of the meeting. But I should go back and ask that boy if he remembers that incident. But yeah, I've heard so many people in England and in other places, they became devotees because of George Harrison.
That revolution that you mentioned is so true, though.
Yeah.
Because of the way the caste system in India and how the ISKCON consciousness has manifested into the world.
Yeah.
That revolution, which is absolutely marvelous.
He came to Mac 15 days.
Yeah.
And I had chance to cook for him 15 days.
Wow. Do you know how fortunate we are? We are in the presence of someone who cooked for George Harrison. Wow, at least all the ladies should touch you. It's like, like touching George Harrison. That's wonderful. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Maharaj, tell us how you met Srila Prabhupada first, and how did you know that he was the perfect master in Kshetra? Like in this verse we were talking about earlier.
Well, he's asking how I met Srila Prabhupada first and how I knew he was my perfect master. Well, I spoke on that topic for about an hour and a half last night at Stanford University, so...
And that's going to be put up on YouTube. I'll send you the link.
Oh, on YouTube?
Yes, they put up all these lectures on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we had... Devamrita Swami Maharaj and many others, Bhaktivika Swami Maharaj, and they have all those, they have uploaded it on YouTube.
Okay.
But we put recording.
Yes.
Yeah, but I have a website, so the audio will be on the website. And I have a book called Watering the Seed, which describes my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, like the same question you asked, and other things, many other incidents with Srila Prabhupada. One or two with Mogavila Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. A little one with George Harrison and Srila Prabhupada. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question. I see a lot of Shankarmat people, I mean the Swamis there, they do Bhagavata Saptaham, 7 days, they read the whole Bhagavatam. I mean, how come we don't see Vaishnavas doing that? At least I haven't seen it.
Well, the Bhagavatam says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that one should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or daily hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or always hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why Srila Prabhupada didn't encourage it. Srila Prabhupada was such a bold preacher. He was fearless. He did not compromise. That when I went to his rooms at the Radha Damodar Temple with Gurudas Prabhu, he was like the senior devotee, and I went with him. This was before Srila Prabhupada began, he was in India, but he hadn't gone back to Vrindavan after he brought us to India. So anyway, he asked us to go through his old letters. So we went through them, and there was a letter from an organizer of a Bhagavat Saptaha in Bombay, inviting Srila Prabhupada to participate. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back the same thing. Where is it said in Srimad Bhagavatam that there should be Bhagavat Saptaha? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. There should always be a discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada wrote not only will I not come to the function, but I will tell everyone I know that they also should not come. That's what he wrote. That said, I mean, there's no harm per se, but what Prabhupada often remarked was that people go for 7 days, and the Bhagavat reciter, he may be a very good orator. Some of them are very good speakers, and they can make the audience laugh, they can make them cry. You know, they can be very good speakers. But basically, after the 7 days are over, people go back to being exactly the way they were before it began. There's no change of heart.
Now, shouldn't that be from listening to Bhagavatam itself rather than the effort? Shouldn't it be the potency of listening to it?
Well, this is a very good question, because there is a verse in Shastra that says, "A Vaishnava Mukod Girnam," that if you hear Harikatha from someone who's not a Vaishnav, and by Vaishnav we don't mean externally, that is like, the verse actually says one should not hear Harikatha. It actually says Harikathamritam, that Harikatha is amrit, it's nectar, but you should not hear it from someone who's not a Vaishnav. Milk is also like nectar, but if it's been touched by the lips of a serpent, a snake, it has poisonous effects. So that's the problem. They're not hearing from a Vaishnava, and so it doesn't have the desired result. But there are many stories of people who had even slight association with Srila Prabhupada. They became devotees. There was this one story, this is an amazing story. Srila Prabhupada was on a flight, and the air hostess, and Prabhupada brought his prasad with him. Now, he wasn't eating the airplane food. So he had like some chavda, like puffed rice and some things. And so the air hostess came and she said, I think she had come earlier and said, "Do you need anything?" She could see he was a saintly person. She was very respectful, a Western lady. "Can I help you? Can I give you anything?" And he said no. And then later on, he brought out, you know, his servant brought out his chavda, and she came by again and she saw it and she said, "That looks good." And she put her hand, and this is very unusual for an air hostess. Probably could have lost her job. She put her hand into Srila Prabhupada's chavda and ate it. Years later, some devotees were doing book distribution in the mountains of Peru. It's a South American country of Peru. And it was late, and you know, they didn't know where to go, and they were in the very remote in the mountains. And they knocked on the door, and so the lady opened the door, and they went in the house, and there were pictures of Prabhupada and Krishna in this most remote place. And they said, how did you know about Krishna consciousness? And she told the story that the Swami was on a flight that she was on, and she reached and ate some of his prasad. And somehow that changed her. And she got books, and she didn't really have association with devotees, but from that association with Prabhupada and from reading the books, she became Krishna conscious. So,
like you said yesterday, she had the Maha Maha Prasad.
Yeah, yeah. She had Maha Maha Prasad. Yes.
One question on the today's verse saying we should serve the devotees of Krishna, Lord, to get rid of all the sinful activities. But how to find the real devotees in this world today? Because so many people are there in the so-called devotees and then showing them that they are devotees.
Well, do you accept that Srila Prabhupada is a real devotee? Yeah, well, so anyone who's following him, anyone who's learning, who's learned from him and repeats what they've learned from him and is following what he taught. I think that's enough. I think that I don't think it's too worthwhile to be too suspicious of other devotees. We should be more suspicious of ourselves instead of, is he a real devotee? Is he a real devotee? Is he a real devotee? Is she a real devotee? You should ask, am I a real devotee?
That is
not. That's not. No, definitely not. I mean, no devotee will think that he or she is a real devotee. So then, let's work on this first. Any other questions? Yes.
I just feel like when I'm in Pakistan, or when I'm actually praying to God, I feel the closeness of God. When I get back to like karma yoga, like when I get back to work, even though I say, okay, I'm dedicating my work to you, I'm not able to get that, the devotion. And you know, I get sucked in more like, I'm not able to get, think about God for 24 hours. So, can you suggest ways in which you can think of Krishna all the time?
Well, that's a good question. That's something that many people face, how to remember Krishna at work. Ambarish Das, Henry Ford's great-grandson, he became a devotee. 1 year he came to Juhu with Srila Prabhupada. He was wearing saffron. I'd never seen him before. And usually the people who traveled with Prabhupada were known to me. So I was looking from the window, I saw this like new brahmachari lifting Prabhupada's suitcases out of the trunk of the car. So I asked, who's that new brahmachari? Oh, that's Ambarish Das. That's Alfred Ford, the great-grandson of Henry Ford. So, anyway, he stayed for some weeks. And at the end, he spoke to Srila Prabhupada about his future. And Srila Prabhupada wanted him to work, because he wanted people to understand that someone could be a devotee, someone could be Krishna conscious, and at the same time work and be a responsible member of society. And, you know, he asked, do I have to work for the Ford Motor Company? And Prabhupada said, no, any work, but some work. And then he asked, what do I do for association? And Srila Prabhupada replied that while you're working, If you think, I'm doing this for Krishna, that is your association. But that will work only if you really are doing it for Krishna. If you're really doing it for Krishna, meaning, first of all, you're trying to be a good example in the workplace. So gradually, you know, if someone inquires, you can tell them about Krishna. And more than that, you're using the money to support a to keep your body and soul together to serve Krishna. And if that's the case, you shouldn't have difficulty. But if, not that you would, but if you're really trying to like save a little extras for that trip to Las Vegas or Reno or wherever, then that I'm doing it for Krishna, well, are you really doing it for Krishna? But if you're really doing it for Krishna, then that consciousness while you're working, according to Srila Prabhupada, that will be your association. And then when you're not at the office, you should have as intense association with devotees as possible, chanting and hearing, even at home, you know, chanting and hearing and not. I mean, of course, this. Much to do at home, but try to keep it as focused on Krishna as possible. All right, I think we've gone a little over here, but that's okay. It's a special occasion.